Good evening, everyone. The meeting will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. Representative Carlson, would you like to move what is probably the last motion for moving minutes of the session?
I will so move. And, Mr. Chairman, does that make it 100%?
I think it does.
I think so.
You have a perfect rating, Representative Carlson.
But you don't expect we'll meet tomorrow or Saturday or?
I guess I don't know what we would meet on, Representative Carlson. I suppose it's always possible.
I'm not sure what you have in possession right now.
Yeah, no, this is actually the last bill that I know of that we have in possession that I would see us needing to move out or expecting to move out. I suppose there's always a possibility of something else, and there are some other bills there, but I am expecting this will be our last meeting. Other than the meeting of the November forecast.
We did have a chair years ago that where I'm headed with that would convene us for a last meeting, and he would have pie.
Oh, well,
all kinds of different pies. I don't know where he bought them, but that was several years ago. You know, the committee started in about the mid-'80s.
All right.
You baking anything?
Think about Wayne's son.
Sorry, did I give you a hint? Or?
Well, you did, but it's. I don't think I got enough time to bake a pie, and if I did, I don't think you'd want to eat.
I don't think that chair baked any pies. At any rate, just thought I would point that out.
All right.
The other person that would have pie was Senator Carl Cronin.
Oh.
He didn't care for cake, I don't think. He would always have pie for his birthday celebration when he was in the house in the retiring room.
All right.
And the other one was Willard Munger.
Oh.
Would love to have pie. But he was selective in who he would give a piece of pie to. And I was fortunate enough to office close to him, so I always got a piece of pie.
Representative Carlson,
I think you wanted that motion, so I move approval of that.
I will try to remember when we have the meeting on the November forecast several months from now, which would really be our last meeting, to bring some pie. You're welcome to remind me, but before the meeting.
As long as it isn't pie in somebody's face, yeah.
Well, that happened. All right, Representative Carlson moves the minutes of May 14th. Is there any discussion? See none, all in favor of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. So, members, we have one bill before us today. That is House File 3352. I will move House File 3352 be referred to the General Register. And I know there's a number of amendments, but Representative Heintzman, the author, do you want to review the bill first, or do you want to take up the amendments? What would be your preference?
Mr. Chair, I think it would be nice if we could possibly just do a quick run-through of the bill and then maybe get to the amendments.
Okay, sounds good. Please proceed, Representative Heintzman.
All right. In the interest of time, I will now turn it over to Director Nash.
Director, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. Again, my name is Becca Nash. I'm the director of the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources, the LCCMR. And again, in the interest of time, I will cut straight to the chase. I will do a walkthrough of the bill, and you have in your packets several pieces of background information. I just want to draw your attention in particular to two of those pieces. The first is the one with the pie charts on it. And this, at the top, has a step-by-step process of the multi-competitive process that all proposals underwent in order to get to you today. This is what led to the LCCMR bill and that you are viewing today. This is followed by a series of tables and charts that show how the appropriations in the bill are broken down according to LCCMR topic priority. As well as by organization type of the folks who would be doing the work and the breakdown of the impact within the state of Minnesota. The second handout I want to draw your attention to is the spreadsheet. On the first page is a summary by LCCMR priority topic area of the appropriations in terms of dollar amounts, number of recommendations, as well as the percent of the total appropriations being made. On the second page of that handout, you'll see a listing of each individual project organized by priority topic area. It provides the project title, the organization, and then the LCCMR recommended amount compared to the amount that is in the bill today. Any changes that have been made are marked accordingly. So, Mr. Chair, if it's okay with you, I will focus on the front page of this spreadsheet and just at a very high level go through the appropriation recommendations per LCCMR priority area.
Okay.
And I should say that in addition to the appropriations in the bill, there is also one statute change, some adjustments to previous year's appropriations, and some carry-forwards. But starting with Section 2, which is the appropriations, I'll just go through these section by section. Subdivision 3 is foundational natural resource data and information. This is $7,293,000, 12 recommendations representing about 16% of the total funding. Subdivision 4 is water resources, $5,275,000, 11 recommendations representing about 12% of the total funds. Subdivision 5 is technical assistance, outreach, and environmental education, $5,168,000, 12 recommendations representing about 11% of the funds. Subdivision 6 is aquatic and terrestrial invasive species, $5,760,000, 6 recommendations representing 13% of the funds. Subdivision 7 is air quality and renewable energy, $1.2 million, 3 recommendations representing about 3% of the funds. Subdivision 8 is methods to protect or restore land, water, and habitat, $3,519,000, 9 recommendations representing about 8% of the funds. Subdivision 9 is land acquisition, habitat, and recreation. This is $17,439,000, 12 recommendations representing about 38% of the funds. Subdivision 10 is the emerging issues account. This is $39,000, 1 recommendation representing less than 1% of the funds. And subdivision 11 is contract reimbursement, $135,000, 1 recommendation representing less than 1% of the funds. And that is the concludes the appropriations portion of the bill.
Well, thank you, Director Nash. Any questions for Director Nash on the bill or Representative Heintzman? Well, seeing none, I guess just a minute.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Director Nash.
Mr. Chair, there are some carry forwards and some and one statute change. If you'd like for me to go through that as well.
Sure.
Okay, and in the bill, subdivisions 12 through 18, pages 27 through 35 are conditions of funding, and these are standard bill language. So if you've seen LCCMR bills before, this would be the same language. Subdivision 19 is some carry forwards. These are projects that just need a little bit more time to complete their outcomes. And then in Section 3 of the bill, starting page 37, line 12, this is adding to Statute 116, which is LCCMR's governing statute, and this is a requirement that nonprofit organizations acquiring land with Environment and Natural Resources Trust funds notify county and town boards before an acquisition of land is proposed and submitted to the LCCMR. And then to conclude, sections 4 and 5 each include a relatively minor adjustment to prior year's appropriations language.
Thank you. All right, well, let's turn to amendments then. The first amendment we'll take up is the A-10 amendment. Representative Garofalo moves the A-10 amendment. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the presentation. Members, this kind of goes back to late last year, early this year. As part of the reforms that were enacted last year, the legislature passed and Governor Dayton signed into law reform of the renewable development account. That put it under state control. Instead of the resources being located in the private sector, they're actually located in the bank accounts controlled by the state. And at that time, I wrote a memo to the LCCMR members, the citizen members, pointing out that in result of this reform that we took, that there should be no projects funded under the renewable energy portion of this, that the proper accounting of this would be under the RDA. The response from that was to not acknowledge the memo, or at least make a cursory acknowledgement of it, and they put the projects back in. And I don't know why they did that. I'm not sure I understand the logic of it, but in the memo I sent to them, I committed to them that if they were to go forward with it, I would actively oppose this and I would take these projects out. And so, Mr. Chairman, that's what I'm doing today. And on page 17, item B, item C, removing from the air quality and renewable energy section. And then on page 19, the agricultural weed control. All three of these were rejected by the legislature last year. And so I've left the development of solar window concentrators for electricity. I've left that in the bill. I could have took it out as well, but I'm just going to take out the ones the legislature took out previously. And Representative Heinzman, I know you'll take this into conference committee and you'll address it as you see fit, but today I would like the committee to remove these, and I ask for the committee's support.
A discussion to the A-10 Garofalo Amendment. Representative Wagenius.
I'm just, I don't understand the rationale between keeping A and taking out C. I'll be there. quite the same, but are different ways of approaching the same problem. But I am very curious about the agricultural weed control using autonomous mowers. We know that our farm community needs help, and one of robotics is clearly coming and be used in all sorts of sectors. Why not our agriculture sector, particularly when we have our homegrown Toro interested in working on this along with the University of Minnesota Morris. So you can't be more homegrown than that. And the outcome for our farmers seems to be a good one. So I'm just not understanding the rationale for taking this out.
Another discussion. Did you want to answer that, Representative Garofalo?
Sure.
Go ahead, Representative Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Wagenius, as I mentioned in my comments, number one, I'm of the opinion that the renewable energy portion of the LCCMR section shouldn't even exist. I mean, after the reforms we were made to the renewable development account, it's exactly what those funds are supposed to be used for. That's the stated intent. That's the historical intent of it. So what we have here is a two projects that are in this list, and a third project which last year was funded under this section. It was simply moved to the latter section. And I don't know why anyone would be surprised by this. I mean, I even put it in writing to say, apply, you know, submit a grant out of the RDA. These resources are available. There's over $54 million in resources available, and it was just chosen, advocates chose to ignore it. I don't know why. I don't understand it. Again, this is Representative Heinzman's bill, and how he addresses these in conference will be his choice, but I said I was going to take this out. I'm not bluffing, so we're going to take it out today, and hopefully we keep it out going through the rest of the legislative process. But if people want to apply for these types of grants for renewable energy, they should do it through the legislative process with the renewable development account.
Representative Carlson.
I'll yield.
Representative Wagenius.
Well, just one thought here for members. The renewable development account is funded by Xcel ratepayers. And Xcel, the funding here does not go into Xcel territory. It goes into the University of Minnesota Morris. And so there are many people that say that the funding from the Renewable Development Account should only be spent in Xcel territory. This is clearly outside of Xcel territory. So appropriately, it does seem to me that LCCMR is a good venue for this type of innovative work.
Representative Carlson?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I find the comments by Representative Garofalo rather interesting because a single member writes a memo to a commission that is made up of legislators as well as citizens and says that they must not move forward with a project that they were interested in. I think that whole process is rather interesting and extraordinary that a single member would be basically vetoing the input from not only the community that would be advocating it, but if you look at the makeup of the LCCMR, and I served on it for a number of years, it's made up of both legislators and citizens. And I assume that there probably was, well, I don't know, I would be speculating that there, but I would guess that there may have been a fair amount of consensus on the part of the LCCMR Commission members on moving forward with this project. I know when I was a member, they had a very elaborate ranking system and so on, and there's just a lot of input when they make a decision to fund a project. And I think Representative Wagenius makes a very good point about the purpose of the Renewable Development Fund. Two of us on this side of the aisle were conferees when that was all set up years ago, Representative Houseman and myself. I think it was very appropriate for them to move forward. I suspect that knowing the makeup of this committee, the amendment might very well go on, but I don't want it to be left with the feeling that there was consensus that somehow the LCCMR was out of order simply because the memo came from a single member of a 201-member body saying this must not be done. I recognize he's a chair. I've been a chair, and I have never, ever expected it simply because I sent a memo that a state agency or a commission was to behave in a certain way when something was clearly within their jurisdiction. You sent the memo. They responded differently, and I think they responded appropriately. And I just want to put that on as a matter of record.
Representative Ruffel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And listeners, no one else, I'll just wrap this up. So I do think it's interesting that there's a new concern to RDA money going outside of the Excel rate payer territory. Representative Wagenius and others, there's been several projects in the past that actually you voted for to do that with. And that's okay because I know the benefit has to be, the benefit is for Excel ratepayers. And sometimes projects that are outside of a area, even projects that were funded under the DFL in Iowa, can actually benefit ratepayers. So I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is somehow this new standard that is attempting to be developed today. But regardless of my personal opinions or the procedure that I followed to send this memo, I sent it to them. I promised them I'd do that. I'm following through on this promise. And my promise is backed up by a majority of last year's members of the House and Senate who took these exact same programs out last time. So I felt I was doing that on behalf of communicating what a majority of the House and the majority of the Senate had already accomplished. I don't think there's anything extraordinary about that, and I suspect there won't be anything extraordinary about that going forward.
Yeah. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, you know, we often debate what legislative intent may have been. But, I'm not challenging your right to move an amendment here. What I am challenging is the expectation that you shared with us at the beginning of your presentation of the amendment that simply because you as a committee chair, one member of the House, interpreting legislative intent, sends a memo and expects a commission to follow the direction of that memo. I view that as kind of extraordinary, and that's my point.
Representative Wilkins.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Since my name was mentioned again, I actually don't object to some of the Excel money being used outside of Excel territory. What I had said is some folks hold that very dear. I can see real advantages to Xcel folks to have some things go on statewide. So that's not my objection.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A10 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion prevails. The A10 amendment is adopted. Next up, I think we'll take the A12 amendment. Representative Torkelson moves the A12 amendment. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is in regard to a project that was passed last year. It's a project that is studying the possible optimization of local mechanical pond wastewater treatment plants. As you know, we've been talking quite a bit about these treatment plants during this legislative session, and I went to PCA and asked them if there's any way we could speed up the project to get results sooner. They came back with a proposal to me that would cost $103,000 in order to take 1 year's time off of this project. I feel this is a sensible thing to do given the current situation with the need for wastewater treatment plant investments. This study really is looking at the existing infrastructure to determine whether or not the existing infrastructure can be tuned up and utilized more effectively so that we get reasonable results with a smaller investment.
In a discussion of the Torkelson A12 amendment, Representative Wheatley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I had just wanted to be recognized even on the previous amendment just to ask, usually the author of the bill is asked to comment on these amendments. And since Representative Heinzman is actually carrying the bill and since he's also a member of the commission, I guess my question would just be to get his comment on these amendments before they're voted on. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Representative Liebling, if you had tried to get recognition before, I hadn't noticed that you had raised your hand. I guess I figured that if Representative Heinzman had something to say, he would have made it known. But Representative Heinzman, do you have an opinion on the A12 amendment?
Actually, there was a comment that I would like to make, so I appreciate the opportunity, Representative Wheatley. The projects, as Representative Garofalo had suggested, were removed in the previous bill, and we are talking about them again in the previous amendment. So I agree with Representative Garofalo's concern over them continuing to be there, and I was actually very happy to see that there might be an alternative path. And I thought that the opportunity to utilize those resources was a good option.
Any other discussion to the A12 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A12 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A12 amendment is adopted.
It doesn't care about that.
Yeah. Next, members, we'll take up the A18-0957 amendment.
What about his amendment?
We just did it. Representative Fabian is not here. Chair will move the A18-0957 amendment. This is an amendment or a piece of legislation that people have seen and been voted on before. This was part of the Environment Finance Bill. And this relates to a project up in the Alexandria area. My understanding is that Lake Winona is the lake to which the Alexandria wastewater facility discharges, and that years ago there was a lot of load put on that lake. And as they're looking at rebuilding their sewage plant, they're trying to come up with a different, less costly way of meeting some of the standards for that lake, and they've done some research and are looking at doing alum treatment, carp removal, and other things to try to deal with some of the issues with that lake, and this would be funding for that. Again, this was previously approved in the Environment Finance Bill. Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually liked alternatives, and the carp removal one is particularly appealing to me. However, it's not appropriate to write a permit in a bill like this, or any bill. Writing permits is for the executive branch, not the legislative branch. But more specifically about this permit, while it does describe a process, there is no guarantee that, I mean, you can look on line 2.3, if they go through the process, it ensures that a district can achieve compliance, but that doesn't necessarily mean the outcome or reducing what needs to be reduced has happened. So then you look at the alternative, and so there are two ways that this could be approached. And again, we don't have an outcome that is necessarily workable. And you can see on line 2.24 that the district's responsibility for management of lake activities terminates on the completion of the activities. But here's the problem with that. If the CARP helps solve a problem, which I hope they do by reducing the phosphorus, keeping CARP out of a lake is really difficult, particularly if the lake is next to wetlands where CARP will go for the winter, or through culverts. And this is a developed area, so there are lots of culverts, lots of sewer lines. So this is not a problem solver. This is, I think it's wholly inappropriate to put this in here. Now, I know we don't have the votes to stop it, but I do want to be on the record for saying that it's inappropriate to put a permit in legislation, and particularly one that doesn't have outcomes.
Representative Heintzman, would you like to comment to the amendment?
Mr. Chair, if it's all right, Marty Secretary is here, and he could speak more specifically to that question, I believe.
All right. Sure. If we have someone that wants to give testimony, we'll be glad to have them come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Seifert, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thanks for having me, Mr. Chair. I'll be very brief. Representative Wagenius has had some good questions, and I just want to briefly touch on this. This was heard in both the House and Senate, passed unanimously. Representative Wagenius and Baker and Garofalo heard this bill. It was a Representative Paul Anderson bill. This language was worked out with the Pollution Control Agency in the meantime since we were in the Jobs Committee. The reason it was there is it was a Public Facilities Authority grant that Mr. Freeman's agency would have done. He has since told us he did not want to be involved in that, so the Board of Water and Soil Resources is the granting organization. To Representative Wagenius's question, if you look at page 1, lines 1.23 and 2.4, if the CARP management and alum treatment are not successful, there, ironically, are CARP barriers that are new that the U of M has worked on. Ironically, I believe funded from a previous LCCMR project. I think maybe when you were involved, Representative Wagenius, that they are looking at utilizing, because this is very tricky with CARP moving from place to place. This is the best language we could come up with because we have to follow federal law under regional EPA. They have to grant approval of this. The reason it's before you today is that when we worked out all of the details with the Pollution Control Agency and the consulting engineers, the data that we received to make sure that this worked for pollutant reduction, we were already past kind of the deadlines and so forth for LCCMR consideration. But this does potentially save the taxpayers $14 million because if this works as the consulting engineers and the pollution control agencies think that it may, this will reduce the phosphorus in Lake Winona, Lake Agnes area that is in the LASD district, and that would preclude a need to trigger PSIG grants and other funding sources. So you would save $14 million, and the consulting engineers believe this may be an additional pollutant reduction below what the facility reconstruction would be. But if this does not work, line 1.24, it will revert back to them having to construct a new facility. So the outcome is we are going to have the pollution reduction that is in their permit. The PCA did work with us, and I want to compliment them for working with us in this and getting the language assembled. And I can stand for any questions you might have.
Any questions for Mr. Seifert? Thank you, Mr. Seifert.
It is in the Senate LCCMR bill as well, Mr. Chair.
All right. Other discussion to the 18-0957 amendment? See no discussion. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Okay. Finally, we have the A11 amendment. The chair will move the A11 amendment. And what the A11 amendment does, members, is it just tries to prod the LCCMR into recommending additional money for Public Facilities Authority funding. You know, we've had a number of hearings in this committee where we have heard about the need for more wastewater treatment funding across the state, more PFA funding across the state, and that is not something that's prohibited by LCCMR funding, although we've not really done it in the past. And so this would be an amendment that simply tries to prod the LCCMR into doing some more of this without actually specifically appropriating money or requiring them to do so. Is there any discussion to the A11 amendment? Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know this language is going to go back in, and it was in the LCCMR bill, and it's appropriate that it go back in. But I would caution the expectation that both sections, A and B, actually work. The section B is loans from the corpus. That's very specifically allowed in the constitutional language, and seems to me LCCMR should consider it. The legislature can consider it. It's very specific in the Constitution. Grants, however, are entirely a different matter. And we had discussions in LCCMR about the likelihood of that, if that goes to a court, that a court would find that that grants from the trust fund are not constitutional. I suspect at this hour of the night, nobody wants to get into that constitutional discussion, and it is for a court. But it is my expectation that a court would say that part is not constitutional.
Excuse me. Well, G. Representative Wagenius, you're so pessimistic about what might happen on these amendments. You keep saying you know they're going to go on. But anyway, we'll have the discussion. Representative Garofalo.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to agree with my colleague, Representative Wagenius, on this one, maybe not for the same reasons. But members, you'll notice on page 1 of the amendment, line 13, this is an expenditure from the PFA, the Public Facilities Authority, which unless there's been a new directive by the Speaker, that finance account resides in the Job Growth, Energy, Affordability, Policy, and Finance Committee. And Representative Heinzman, maybe you could answer a question for me. Has this language been reviewed by my committee, or is that by the committee that I chair, or has it been?
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Garofalo, no.
Okay, so, Mr. Chairman, you know I like you. You're a good guy, but I'm looking around the table at my fellow committee chairs who chair other committees, and if you have a jurisdictional issue that comes up, you know how to vote. So I would respectfully, while I like the author of the amendment, and maybe there isn't some merit for the substance of it, I would ask for a no vote on the amendment.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just curious because it has a specific dollar amount, and there is a reference several times to that it only relates to towns with a population under 5,000. How that was arrived at, and do we know how many towns under 5,000, and is that a fair distribution of funds with that kind of limitation? And I don't know how that math was done.
Well, Representative Hausman, I guess I can't tell you offhand how many towns there are underneath 5,000, but there are I'm sure, some hundreds of them, and we have traditionally had a cutoff in the state for allocations of towns under 5,000. If you look at some things like OHS transportation funding, for example, and so I think it's a reasonable population number for which to have a cutoff.
And, Mr. Chair, I wasn't necessarily referencing the cutoff for population, but the dollar amount that would be limited to them. So is that a fair distribution of funds, given the fact you're from St. Cloud, which is over 5,000?
Well, I guess I have to ask what your question is, Representative Hollister. Are you saying that $10 million is too much or too little?
Don't know, because I just didn't know if, does somebody know how the math was done? Was it done with the idea that you want to be fair to everyone across the state?
No. Well,
I would not know that.
I always want to be fair to everyone across the state. And so I guess, Representative Hausman, as you see, it's really just permissive language, and it's trying to prod the LCCMR into considering funding some money for wastewater treatment systems. I think there's a great need, like I said, in this area. We haven't using this resource in the past, and so we're, with this amendment, just trying to get people to consider using it. Representative Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, I think those are excellent questions, and it's exactly why we should have a hearing on this matter in the Jobs Committee before adopting it in this committee.
Any other discussion? Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A11 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion is not failed. The amendment is not adopted. All right.
Representative Thompson. And Representative Garofalo accomplished that without even sending in a memo.
Well, see, you know, see, there you go, Representative Aguinius. Ye of little faith. All right, I see no other amendments. Discussion to the bill. Any discussion to House File 3352 as amended? See no discussion. The chair will renew his motion that House File 3352 as amended be referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 3352 is referred to the General Register. Say, before we end today, members, I do want to give thanks to some people, because this is likely our last meeting of the session. Not of the year, as I mentioned. We'll have one in late November or December to review the November forecast, but probably won't be having one in the next few days before the session ends. So I want to thank a number of people. I'd like to thank our DFL and Republican research team, Dan Sullivan with DFL Research, Dave Sullivan, excuse me, Bill Glahn, Republican Research. I want to thank Colby Sullivan, who's done such a great job being our counsel and putting together amendments on the fly when we've got to call on him to do that. I want to thank Bill Marks, who I said when we eventually renovate this building someday, we could sort of like, you know, have a little front of it be, you know, part of, you know, like a sort of a Mount Rushmore, but we could stick Bill Marks up there instead, just be, you know, sort of an institution around here. And if he ever does retire, I know we'll miss him terribly, but we're very glad to have his help. I want to thank Gene Coddington, who's been such a great legislative assistant for me, and I want to thank Harry Kennedy, who has stepped in so capably this year, in the last year after Craig Stone was promoted. And finally, I want to thank our pages, and if they could come forward, we actually have something for Santa, Amit, and Becca.
We already gave it to them?
Get on camera.
Oh, I thought you were.
Come on, anyway.
Get on camera.
Oh, we thought we were holding those presents for you. All right. Well, anyway, that's okay.
We'll put them on the fridge tonight. So.
All right. Thank you all much for all you've done. They got a little packet which included them standing in front of a huge mound of dead trees that have been turned into paper, which happens regularly around here. So thank you very much for your help. And with that, I do want to maybe, if I can, have the people who are on the conference committee, Representative Pawlowski, Loon, Garofalo, and Torkelson, maybe just come up to my office for a short meeting here just to update them on some things. With that, thank you again for everything, Representative Carlson.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt your thank yous, but I do have a question when you're done with that.
Okay, I'm done with that.
Okay. I had a member of our caucus come up today and ask if I had the targets for the conference committee, the different articles or the overall targets, and I said I did not. And we did have a conversation about that. And so if you could share that with our caucus, what your various targets are, as well as the tails.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Representative Carlson. I thought, you know, we're all getting a tremendous number of emails at this time as we end up in session. I had thought that we had sent you an email on that, but I will make sure that I get them to you because they've been publicly released. Yeah, I can resend it. I don't have a hard copy with me here, but I'd be happy to get it.
I did check, Mr. Chairman, after she asked me the question on the House floor, and I didn't find an email, no.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll
so maybe something happened, but I told her that I would follow that up and see if we could get those targets.
Okay. In fact, actually what I'll do is when I go up to my office here, I'll give some to Representative Pawlowski. I'll run off a hard copy, and he can give it to you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. And I do want to thank been a pleasure serving on the committee with all of you, Republican and Democratic members. I've enjoyed having you as the minority lead, Representative Carlson, and I
thank you.
Appreciate serving with everyone and all your service. So thank you very, very much. With that, the meeting's adjourned.